Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. By the way, we've got our phone lines are open. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. We've got our ag report coming up. It looks like right now the Dow is up slightly. All the indices are flat for all practical purposes. The NASDAQ is down barely. It is red, but I would call that flat as well. So everything is flat, not a lot of movement going on. Global growth, more reports coming out about the slowdown of global growth. I already told you about what has happened in with China and what's going on there with trade in China. That is a very critical part of what we are dealing with. And by the way, the German bond yield is plummeting. I don't, listen, it's new record lows today on German bond yields. U.S. Treasuries, yes, they have resumed a little bit their fall. I don't know how long that's going to last. I think that might pick back up again. All of this because of, I don't understand about this, but all of this because of renewed tensions. I don't know what renewed, I don't know about anybody else, but I have been stressed over trade for a while now. There's nothing renewed about it. I don't necessarily get renewed in my tensions and my stress and my worry because of another report. I don't know why. So until something happens to give me a reason to relax, then it's going to be hard for me to be renewed in my tensions or stress because I've got to get relaxed in order for me to get renewed. So what exactly has happened? Maybe I've missed something along the way. Maybe it's just a little bit of a two-day run that we've had in the markets and the Federal Reserve indicating that if they need to, they're going to cut rates. I didn't relax on that. It didn't mean much to me. As a matter of fact, I didn't even talk about it that much. It was kind of irrelevant. I agreed with everything Chairman Powell said. I did agree with it. And I believed that it was a great show of transparency for us and for the American people. I thought it was great that he was very honest about exactly what he is going to be looking at. So I thought that was great, but that I didn't relax enough that I would now be renewed with tension. So I really kind of don't understand that, but nonetheless, right now tensions in the Eurozone with the bond yield dropping is, could this mean that there would be some hope from more central banks, or particularly the European Central Bank, at the next meeting to do something, and to help out the Eurozone? All right, so let me give the Eurozone, the people in the Eurozone, and we do have listeners, at least I know, in the UK. Let me just mention this to you. What would you have them do? Do you understand if you're a part of the European Union, if you're a part of this whole union zone, Eurozone, if you are dependent upon Brussels to do anything? First of all, I wouldn't be dependent upon them. They haven't been able to do it. They haven't done anything. But they can't do anything because they have no ammunition. They're not going to pull this bazooka out of quantitative easing or a stimulus that is going to help. They don't have one of those in their arsenal anymore. As a matter of fact, they don't even have anything in their ammunition boxes. They've got nothing. The only thing they have is negative interest rates. Is that what you want to see happen? I don't know. I mean, so what can they do? So this notion that there are people in the Eurozone hanging on to the fact that there might be some stimulus They need to think through it a little bit more and say to themselves, well, wait a minute, what would that stimulus be? So they're going to devalue the euro? How about we devalue the euro? Manipulate the currency. That'll be good. Good for who? That'll be great for Italy. Be good for Greece. Maybe Portugal. That's going to be good for a number of countries. But what about Northern European nations? They don't want that. They don't need it. That's why the Eurozone is a failed experiment, in my opinion. That's why if the UK has any sense at all, they'll be out of there as quick as they possibly can get out. And trust me, when that happens, there's going to be a whole lot of others following suit. So a lot of other issues that ought to be of concern to the Eurozone. And that's just quantitative easing or central bank interference is not one of the reasons they ought to be thinking about it. The U.S. trade deficit, as I mentioned earlier, has gone unchanged. Trade deficit, I think it's 50.88. That's what it was last month. That's what it is this month. No change in the trade deficit, unlike China that's had some changes. Unit labor costs, this is the cost that employers pay for employees, has gone down 1.6%. That's a little bit of a concern as far as inflation. First-time unemployment claims, no change. All right, Craig Hauger coming up to talk about commodities. Give us his ag report and holy mackerel, has it been crazy on the commodity front. Here's Craig Hauger. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the price action in corn yesterday left me as confused as a chameleon in a bag of Skittles. The corn market traded lower on fund selling and ideas that the corn crop will get planted after all. Time will tell, but I find it interesting that Informa released a fresh projection of corn acres yesterday, and they're pegging planted acres this spring to come in at 84.9 million acres. Well, that's 7.9 million less than the last USDA projection, and if accurate, should pave the way to higher prices. I continue to believe that we're going to have some extremely volatile days ahead of us in the grain markets. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a penny lower. The soybean market traded lower on improving weather for planting. The funds were also sellers, which put downward pressure on the market. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures continue to feel some pressure and are trading 7 cents lower as I record this. The wheat market got thumped from continued profit-taking. Concerns about crop damage in winter wheat eased a bit after the crop conditions report showed a 3% improvement on Monday. Some weather forecasts suggest a wetter pattern developing for the Black Sea region, Australia, Europe, and Canada. And while that would be good for the crop, it obviously puts some pressure on prices. In the overnight trade, Chicago and Minneapolis are rebounding a little bit, both trading 4 cents higher, while Kansas City is up 2 cents. Cotton seems to have settled into a very narrow trading range, kind of a range-bound pattern. Yesterday really did nothing to change that as we traded an extremely narrow range before the July futures settled 23 points lower for the day as they settled out at 68.74. Now, in the overnight trade, we're seeing a bit more pressure on that market, and we have spot futures down 80 points. Livestock futures were higher straight across the board for the second consecutive day. August live cattle were up 62.5 cents for the session, while August feeder cattle finished the day up $2. Lean hogs have been able to stem the bleeding from the past couple of weeks, so have now posted a couple of consecutive days with higher closes. Yesterday saw the August lean hog futures up 60 cents at the close. After the rough session on Tuesday, Class 3 milk futures had a nice rebound yesterday. For the session, July futures were up 17 points as they settled at 16.48. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading 1 point lower. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were down 89 cents to settle at $222.11, while selects were 3 cents lower for the day as they settled at $207.18. In hogs, the pork carcass values decreased by 58 cents as they closed out the day at $83.07 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. I'm going to go to phones, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Terry. Terry is calling us from Illinois. Hey, Terry.
Good morning, Mr. Celia.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to comment about the interview that you had a little earlier about the gentleman from Samaritan Ministries.
Yes.
I got to tell you, I've been a Christian for 25 years. Mm-hmm. I've been an active Christian for about the last 90 days. And the reason I say that is because I was one of those Christians that, well, you know, I don't really have a lot of time to deal with a lot of issues that are going on. Somebody else is already doing it. Mm. When these abortion laws started coming through came up in New York and they voted them into law, I thought, okay, I got to do something. You know, I've got to become active. I can't be walking around telling people that I'm this, you know, terrific Christian and I'm not doing anything. Mm. Then I started hearing about what they're doing in Illinois. I live in Illinois, and it was a point in time I thought, okay, I got to get out of here. I don't want my tax dollars supporting the killing of babies. Because, you know, here's the thing that people don't get. A couple goes out on a date, and let's say they're intimate that night, and then let's say the girl winds up pregnant. Those people are going to have a baby. Now, they're going to decide which one they're going to have, because they're going to have one of two. They're either going to have a live baby, or they're going to have a dead baby, but they're going to have a baby. And, you know, the state here, like I said, I was thinking, I'm going to sell my house and go move on the other side of the river because I live on the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, I'm going to stay and fight. No, I'm not going to tuck my tail and run and go hightail it to another state. I'm going to stay here and fight. I'm a working guy. I'm not a pastor, not a politician. I don't know, maybe I should be one because people tell me with my mouth I probably make a good one. But I don't think there's enough people to even know what's going on. I never knew about Samaritan Ministries until today. It isn't, you know, I don't ever hear about it on Fox. You're never going to read about them on CNN.
No.
And here the thing is, the latest poll data, I think it was Pew Research, 92% of people in Illinois do not want late-term abortion. Or no, I'm sorry, let me, 8% do not, or 8% are okay with late-term abortion. 6% are okay with live abortion. What happened to the other 92% of the people? Where are they? How do we have these representatives, I've already called mine, coming up with these bills, and now this governor is going to sign into law, and 92% of the people don't want that to happen. So what I'm thinking is these other 92% of the people, they got to start speaking up like I'm doing with you today.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Terry, if for no other reason, what man meant for bad, God is using for good, and it motivated you and I'm sure many other Christians to come to the understanding that we have got to be, when the Lord returns, we've got to be found with a sword in our hand. We can't be found curled up in a corner in fetal position doing nothing. We got to be found with a sword in our hand. We need to fight until the Lord comes home and comes back. And listen, we need to be motivated. We need to fight. I don't know if you heard the program yesterday. It sounds like you didn't. If you didn't, you need to go back and listen to what hour did we have, Corey, past second hour. Go back and listen to this beginning of the second hour. And listened to a pastor from Illinois that prayed at the State House for...
I was going to tell you about that.
Yeah,
I contacted
okay.
him. I talked with him for about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was a couple of days ago, because the only thing I knew how to do right now is to begin donating to the ministries, whatever organizations that are trying to get these laws turned around or not on the books or whatever,
right. And
to get these people connected. Now, this pastor you're talking about, I called and talked with him, He and another pastor up in northern Illinois are going to start a grassroots organization trying to get people elected to get rid of these laws.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only thing we can do. Because I was going to say to you, you know, you talk, first of all, I can relate to Illinois because I'm in Pennsylvania. And Illinois and Pennsylvania are very similar. So from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, I'm in Philadelphia. From Pittsburgh to Philadelphia is the Bible Belt. It's about as conservative as you can get. But unfortunately, there's 8 counties out of the 56 that control the entire state. And in Illinois, you have those northern counties in and around Chicago that are controlling what has happened in the legislative process throughout the entire state. And you've got the majority of the state, at least geographically, the majority of the state that wouldn't go along with that and doesn't feel that way. So the other thing I wanted to tell you is keep listening. If you want to know the truth, you need to listen. I don't know where you're listening to this program. I don't know how you're listening to it on what radio station, but keep listening. I hope that the radio station you're listening to continues to proclaim the truth throughout the day. But I know we do here for 3 hours every day, and we do on our live stream throughout the rest of the day. But, you know, keep listening. Keep finding out the truth. Keep telling as many people as you can. Because the best thing you can do is stand up and stand firm and stand immovable for the things of God. And that's the best thing you can do. And then to broadcast it, not on air, but broadcast it to your neighbors, to your friends, and do whatever you can do. And it sounds like you're on a mission to do that. So great stuff, Terry. I got to run, but I sure appreciate you weighing in. And I hope that you'll continue to listen. And I'm glad you contacted Pastor Musgrave. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure. Thank you, Terry. God bless you. I wish you all the best. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Richard. Richard calling us from Alabama. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Dan. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good, man. First of all, I want to say that I'm very grateful for what God is doing through you, with you, and by you. Mm. People's lives are being changed and transformed for the glory of God. And I'm appreciative. I'm one of those people.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I want to say this here. About 4 years ago, I called your show up. I heard it on the radio, AFR. Mm. And I really called to have a pity party with you, and you didn't go for it. I had went into a business, and I'm trying to say this swiftly because there's two things I need to do. I went into a business with another gentleman that supposedly was supposed to have been saved or whatever, and I financed everything. Well, the guy closed the business down, took all the equipment and sold it, and I ended up losing everything I had. 4 years, short story. And I call you up and say, how do I start over again when I don't have nothing to start with? And you told me that you got to start where you are with what you are. You got something coming in from somewhere, or you can't survive. So I went to my financial guy at that time there and said, look, I want to start saving $500 a month. And he started laughing. My wife started laughing. And I said, what's so funny? But anyway, what happened was, I want to just say that I took your advice, and God restored back everything that I lost and then more. Mm. And the financial principle that you gave to start where I was at with what I have, God has in return given us another house. We lost our house. He's given us bank accounts and stuff like that all over again, and I'm grateful. Mm. And I want to say thank you for that. The second thing is that me and my daughter and my family, we have started to save a little bit again. And our banker realized that we had some extra money sitting there. So they had convinced her that we need to take that money and put it into some kind of glorified money market is what they got is
here. Right, right.
And was going to pay 2%, but they had all these fees and fines. If you draw the money out, you had to put so much in. So I heard you talk about credit unions and other things that where you could put your money and get a little bit more return. So I want to do that, and then I want to get back with the girl because I want to become a partner with the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're, again, off to the right start here. And and not by becoming a partner, just by what you're saying you want to do and want to get started with that money market account. And yeah, you know, I'm glad you didn't go the other route. And I want you to have the confidence and the faith in God to rely upon yourself, because what you're doing, number one, is you're convicted to do things right. You're not grieving the heart of God with what you're doing. God's going to bless that. You need to know that. God's going to bless you, bless that. And have the confidence to rely a little bit more on your gut, on your instincts, and do some things that you know are going to be right. And one of the things, again, you know, go to that credit union. Look, you can get a Christian Community Credit Union, you can get 4% on a CD, and if up to $10,000 or $500, whatever you have. Or if you want to get an account in your name and your wife's name, you could do $20,000. But 4% in this environment is amazing. So it's a great place to put some of that savings, some of that cash maybe, for a period of time to get a very good interest rate. It's a great place to start. And I would check that out before you do anything. You can click on, if you go to the website, financialissues.org, you can click on the Christian Community Credit Union, and you can get information about it. But I'm not saying it because I want you to go there, but all the credit unions that you could use are probably better than most of the banks. But the most important thing is you're in a place in your life where you need to have some stability in that cash, you know, that you're not dependent upon anything. And the other thing I don't want you to have is a whole bunch of rules and requirements that you need to withdraw and to put back in and to do that. You don't need any of that garbage. You don't need any of that stuff. All of those rules are in place by so many of these products with the hopes that one of the rules will be broken. And then when that happens, they benefit from fees. You know, they give, you know, companies give you interest-free credit cards in the hopes that you're going to be late by 30 seconds on one of those payments so that they can jack up your interest rate. And you're paying 22% interest now on what you have. I mean, that's why they're in place. So I think you're in the right place. And I would just tell you, I'll put you on hold, but Richard Darlene's going to tell you, hey, man, go to financialissues.org and click on that Become a Partner button, and that'll help you a great, great deal. And, man, I thank you for your testimony. You have encouraged me today, and I appreciate God using you in that way. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. We're going to go right back to the phones, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Ron. Ron's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I called a couple of weeks ago, kind of, I don't know, I wasn't preaching to you, but just telling you that, you know, maybe you're pushing yourself too hard and to take care of yourself and your family and stuff, but every time I listen to you, I get more out of stuff, and sure glad you're there.
Well, thank
you. Your last caller ought to say it all, what the people are thinking out here, and, you know, how appreciative we are. That was my comment. Two questions.
Okay.
I just wanted to get your opinion. I retired back in April, and I still haven't really done anything with my 401k, and I tend to do something with that pretty soon. And the kind of plan I'm looking at is to move about 12% of it into my investment account with Ameritrade so I can continue to get some stocks at, based on your buy list, which I already have some, but I'd like to see more in there. I was thinking about also about a 25% into a charitable annuity, but I have a question. You often don't speak highly of annuities, but you speak highly of this. Why is that, and what's the difference?
So a charitable gift annuity is very, very different than a commercial annuity. So a commercial annuity is an insurance product. A charitable gift annuity is a gift to a ministry. And, you know, there aren't any hidden anything about a charitable gift annuity. You make a gift of X amount of dollars. They make you a promise based on what the IRS tells them that they can make to you, that at a certain age or immediately or whatever it might be, they're going to pay you income until you and if you have two people on it, they're going to pay that income out until you're both gone. And no matter if you live to be 105 or, you know, whatever it might be, you're going to get that income. So the charitable gift annuity is an income vehicle, strictly an income vehicle. It is not an investment. I don't believe, this is just me, that a commercial annuity is an investment either, though they will call it that, I only because it's a product. It's an insurance product. They have certain investments inside them, but I always say if you want investments, go to your broker and get investments. If you want insurance, go to your insurance company, get insurance. But so they're very different animals. So what you need to remember, and I don't know the size of your 401k and all of that, and I don't know if 25% would be too much or not. It seems like it might be off the top of my head, but I would have to know, you know, some more numbers. But it's a piece of your asset allocation model. You know, it's a piece of just to be able to secure some income that is going to be unchangeable. You'll get a charitable deduction immediately for a portion of that. So you would, if you're going to do it, make sure you do it in the same year that you're putting 12% into an investment account, because you know that'll be taxable to you as income. And the charitable gift annuity, some of the charitable deduction of that, or the, not some of it, but the charitable deduction that you get from that will offset or lower at least some of the taxes that you'll have to pay. So do that in the same year. And the income that you receive off the charitable gift annuity, about half of it, maybe a little more than that, half of it is going to be tax-free to you, not tax-deferred, but tax-free. So you're only declaring, you're getting a 1099 at the end of the year for only about half of the income that you're generating, and obviously that's a great tax benefit as well. So so that's the difference. That's the difference.
Why is it a half? I mean, are you
Because tax-free? So it's half because the IRS, and all of that is all based on IRS rules, of course. They're all the same. So the reason it's half is because the IRS does not give you a full charitable deduction for the money that you put in. They only give you, I don't even want to say what it is because I don't really know. I'm going to say it's 55%, but I don't know what it is. Because it's different to everybody. It's different and it constantly is changing by the IRS. So they're not giving you a full charitable deduction. They are making that up. They're making that up by giving you that free income for your life expectancy. They're giving you that free income, and that's how they're making that up. So in the long run, you get a larger, assuming that you, you know, depends, I guess, on how long you live, but in the long run, you're going to end up getting more back from a tax benefit than you would otherwise. So that's why that's how that works.
Okay. So I guess, finish my whole plan.
Okay.
It's 12% in the investment account, and then you think 25 might be a little bit too much for charitable annuity.
Are you, you know that you're, when you say 12% in the investment account, that's the 12% you're willing to pay taxes on?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Yep.
Well, not willing, but...
Well, yeah, not... Yeah. Yeah.
Required to.
Yeah, required. You, yeah, that you understand that you're going to have to pay tax on, and you're
yes.
That's, you're okay with that. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
And then so you still feel the 25% in the charitable
community
may be a little...
I mean, it's more than what is on my model. I know that. But I know people that put way more than that in there, but, you know, it depends on the situation. I'd probably have to ask more questions than I could give you answers on that. But anyway.
And the remainder, which is about 60 or so percent, I'm not really positive what to do with it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, I wrote down the Christian Community Credit Union for, as far as the IRA.
Sure. Yeah, I would have an IRA account, and you can do one at Christian Community Credit Union and do what you can make on that to get your 4%. The other I would roll into an IRA at wherever your investment account is in an IRA account. So if your investment account is at TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or something, I would also open up an IRA account, and I would roll the balance of it in that. In that account, you can do whatever you want. I mean, it'll give you the freedom to be investing in stocks, investing in CDs, investing in bonds, whatever you want to do. But it gives you the whole world of opportunity out there to diversify that really well.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you on your message the other day about the abortion situation and the different things going on in Illinois. And sometimes I hate to suggest this, but I don't know if you ever preach anywhere, but boy, that would have been a good one.
Yes, you bet. I had so many people tell me that by email, I was getting scared. And I had friends, don't you go praying about that, because they said something to me. I used to do a lot of pulpit filling over the summer, but I just don't have the time to do it now. It's one of those things I had to give up. But you're not the first one that told me that, and it's a little bit scary. So we'll pray that God doesn't hear that.
Well, I mean, you're strong one area, you know. I think you just get stronger every day. So
yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Ron. God bless. 844-707-5533. We have lines open. If you want to queue your call up, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. And somebody asked me about a particular stock, E48. And let me see if I can, I'm not sure what they wanted to know about it. I mean, I know right now, like many of the oil stocks, it's been getting clobbered. I don't know if that's what they were referring to. I'm not sure. But I would say it is a strong company. It's a good company. It is financially strong. It pays an amazing dividend. So if you're down right now, you're making about, 6.5% on the money that you have invested, even though that is down. So you're getting paid a fair amount of money to wait for it to come back up. I fully expect that to be back on my buy list in very short order, because I believe, and I hesitate to say this, and folks, we're talking about E48, I think it's about bottomed out. So if you have not added to your position, this would be a good time to do it. If you're an income investor, this would be a great time to add to your position and dollar cost average down a bit. And just hang on to it. Just sit tight. and hang in there with it. We'll be right back right after this. 844-707-5533.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you are welcome to do it, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Drew. Drew's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Dan, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Good. I'm a member, and I've been in the process of switching over to the income portfolio. I'm 73 years old.
Okay.
I know I'm interested in donating to AFA in the form of a charitable gift annuity, but I noticed that you don't have one on the income portfolio. You have cash, only a small portion of cash. I'm a lot longer in cash than that on that portfolio. I'm like a third in cash right now.
Yeah, I would. I'm not sure. You know what? I'm going to look at that because that shouldn't be the case. But it was on there. I'm wondering if when I made the change, I might have changed that. That's odd, but. I would be perfectly okay with you doing that with your cash, some of your cash, since you have so much.
How much do you think would be a good percentage?
Well, so if you did, how are you going to use the money overall, the whole portfolio? Do you have adequate or kind of adequate income? Are you going to need this money for if something were to be an emergency or something like that?
No, I'd only use it as a supplement.
Okay.
And I would just pull out just the income is all I want to pull out of it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, I think you said like 12% cash.
Yeah.
But I got a lot more than that. But I mean, is it okay to put what percentage should I put in an annuity?
I would say any other cash you have above that 12, in cash, I think would be fine.
Okay.
So I don't know what the percentage is because I don't know the size of your portfolio, but I think that would be fine. If you wanted to do a little bit more than that, that's fine too. But I think that would be, which sounds to me like it sounds like to me it would be about another 12%. Give or take, or maybe 15%, and I would be okay with that.
Okay, well, the pot of money is about 400.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I would be fine with
12%
that.
12% of that
yep.
would be 40, 50, somewhere there.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Yeah.
Okay. All right, that sounds good.
All right.
It's not a good time to dollar cost average down in the ETFHD, is it?
No, not yet. No. Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
Okay.
No. Unfortunately, it's coming back up again now, but yeah, no, not yet. I'd wait a little bit.
Okay. Thanks very much, sir, and I love your program.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate you. God bless.
All right.
844-707-5533. Let me go to Jim. Jim's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, Dan. Thank you for all you do. A previous caller was talking about the charitable gift annuity, and my question was, if I said gave $50,000 and got an immediate annuity, the amount for life, what happens if, let's say, 5 years from now, AFA gets into some financial difficulties and they write and say, we can't pay you this as much?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? How are they funding it?
Do they have
monies there to take on all life income vehicle, the annuities?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the reasons why for 30 years, I've been recommending, even back when I was in my private trust business, managing hundreds of millions of dollars, I always recommended charitable gift annuities. And I came alongside AFA about 9 years ago, and said, I know their annuity pool. and their pool's got about 55% more in it than they're required. What you've just asked is regulated. It's regulated by the state through federal law. So they have to have that money that you put in there segregated from any of the general funds. And they have to have over and above that a reserve. And as I've indicated, AFA probably has 45 to 55% more than what they're required to have in reserve. Now, what happens in a case where they went bankrupt or something happened like that, that money gets turned over, that the state, like it would in an insurance company, manages that, and that all goes to pay all the annuitants that are left in the pool, that are left their payments. So that's how that works. That is all been taken care of, and AFA's got the strongest pool I know of.
Okay, so they have adequate reserves, and that's regulated
yes.
by the government.
By the way, Jim, it's audited every year and turned in to the government.
Okay.
It has to be audited every year with a certified audit. Just the pool, just the annuity pool. Yep.
Okay. That answers the question. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Jim. I appreciate the call. Okay. God bless.
Okay.
Yep. Folks, yeah, so that's a good question. I get that all the time. I've gotten it for years. So that's why there's a lot of ministries that don't do this anymore. They got out of the business. Because in 2008, when the market crashed so severely, and they had their monies invested so heavily in the market, they actually had to write a check from their general fund to deposit in the annuity pool because it fell below, the reserves fell below. And so many ministries says, wait a minute, this is a liability. This is not an asset. You know, this is crazy. Now, AFA didn't have to do that. Some of the other ministries did not have to do that. But a lot of the ministries said, we're done with this. Let's get out of it, in which case they had to sell those annuities and that annuity pool and unwind it or at least freeze it and just work with what they had. So because it can be a liability, but it didn't matter whether they had the money in their general fund or not. They didn't have a choice. It wasn't optional. It wasn't optional. The only thing that's optional for them, if they put that money in to meet the audit because they fell below, then when the pool comes back from an investment perspective, they do have the right to take the money back that they put in to get the pool back where it was. So they can do that, but a lot of places didn't want to take that chance. So anyway, I just throw that out because it's an important question that we understand the safety of it. So, it is an income. It is the best of both worlds. You're creating income while you're giving to the Lord's work. And let me just throw this out. I would hope that all of you that have been faithful tithers all your life, faithful givers to ministry and to the church, I would hope that in your will, you have a provision to make your final tithe. Yes, you're gone right, at that point, but you have a provision in there as testimony to anybody that might read that will, that you are going to make your final tithe. And if that's 10% of all your net worth at the time, then so be it. And this is a way to kind of make that final tithe or to contribute to that final tithe before and get the income as a result of it. I don't want to say it's going to, from a mathematical standpoint, replace your final tithe totally, but it's a great thing to do now while you're living and enjoy some of the benefit of the income. 844-707-5533. We'll see if we can get to Amelia real quick from Georgia. Hey, Amelia.
Hey, Dan, I just want to know something. Can you please explain the gift annuity to me? I'm new at all this,
sure.
And I don't understand what it is.
So basically, it's you making a gift to a ministry, and the ministry is guaranteeing you for that gift to pay you an income for the rest of your life. It's not any more complicated than that. It is a, now you don't have access to the money any longer. That's important to understand. That's why I can speak for the AFA Foundation and myself too, that more people are told no, they probably shouldn't do it than are told they should do it. At least that's the responsible thing for any ministry to do if they shouldn't have it. Because remember, you now, you lose control of that money. You can't say, oh, I've changed my mind. I'm going to take $1,000 because I need it. That's money you're giving up to commit to getting an income every month for the rest of your life. So it's a gift, and that's the key word, charitable gift annuity. It's not an investment. So, but if you live to be 110, you're going to still be getting that income for the rest of your life. It's never going to change. So it's a way to kind of give people security. It's a great thing to do. I've done it in wills where people have children that aren't real responsible and they don't want to give them a lump sum of money. I've told them, write it in your will, leave them a charitable gift annuity for their income benefit. For a certain age, they turn a certain age, they're going to get an income for the rest of their life. And they may be irresponsible for that income, but next month they're going to get it again. And you can try to provide for them a little bit that way. But that's all it is. It's a gift that you're making for that guarantee. And that income you get is regulated by the IRS. They don't make up an amount they're going to give you. It's based on calculations that the IRS says they have to make. I have to run, Amelia. I hope that's helped you a little bit. If not, you can call back and call the foundation, get more information. Folks, if you got to leave us, have a great day.
Never forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.